You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Four minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock, Gym Class for a Thursday, coming your way on KGYM. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, all over eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM here in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, your mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you, buttons on the other side of the glass, Mark Dukes from his home on the southwest side. Join me coming up in just a couple of moments. Good show coming up for you. We'll talk college basketball as Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us for our weekly segment, Off the Glass. And we'll preview Iowa and Indiana with Kevin. We'll talk Iowa and Indiana with everyone coming up here in just a couple of moments. Some sad news today around sports in eastern Iowa and former sports personalities, sports athletes from eastern Iowa. We'll get to that on the program, and we may get before 4 o'clock today a little bit of news as far as what to look for at the state wrestling tournament coming up next month in Des Moines at Wells Fargo Arena. The Iowa High School Athletic Association meeting today, and they are talking among their topics about what is going to take place at this year's state wrestling tournament. Will it stay its usual format? Will it be changed for 1 year? And other questions to be answered. So we may have that before 4 o'clock coming up here today. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. That is the text line. Phone line, same number. Again, that's 319-366-1600. And we'll update you on the PGA tournament that is underway at the in Palm Springs, California. And I'd say it's a much better place, warm weather-wise, than here in eastern Iowa today, Mark. But it is not too bad in eastern Iowa. It is a beautiful, sunny, warm winter January day. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, a very pleasant day here in eastern Iowa. Hope you're having a good one. And looking forward to tonight's game, Iowa and Indiana. Iowa favored by about 10 points. Not sure what everyone thinks about that, but nevertheless, they're going to tip off shortly after 8 o'clock and a Bowling Night in America recap as well.
You could probably figure out what happened on our Bowling Night in America recap, but we will keep you in suspense for a little while longer. How's that?
I'm good with that.
319-366-1600, and we will talk Iowa, Indiana coming up here in just a moment. Sad news, though, as we mentioned, dealing with a former Eastern Iowan and who hasn't had a residence here for a while, but we learned last night, and it was confirmed today, the passing of Lonnie Nielsen, who put Iowa golf on the map, I think. One of the first ones to put Iowa golf on the map anyway. And a longtime fixture on the PGA Tour, the Senior PGA Tour, as it was known back then, before it was called the Champions Tour. And just a tremendous, tremendous asset to the Iowa golf community. Passed way too early last night.
Yeah, indeed. I got that information from one of my colleagues yesterday and finally confirmed it. And for those who, you know, maybe a little bit younger, don't realize that before there was a Zach Johnson to follow on Eastern Iowa, it was Lonnie Nielsen and out of Belle Plaine and Dave Rummels out of West Branch, who carried the Iowa banner on the PGA Tour for a period of time. And Nielsen's story is quite interesting. I mentioned he's from Belle Plaine, and when he was growing up, that nine-hole course had sand greens, and I'm familiar with it. My parents used to belong there, and I played it multiple times. But for a guy to come from not only Belle Plaine, Iowa, but the sand greens of a nine-hole course, play at Iowa, play on the PGA Tour, You know, Scotty, he once finished tied for 11th in the PGA Championship. He'd never won on the PGA Tour, but he did win twice on the Champions Tour. And he was really, he moved to New York and was a dominant PGA club professional in the Western New York section. He won that section multiple times. He won the National PGA Player of the Year three times. And he and Rummels were really the Iowa Trailblazers before Zach Johnson arrived on the scene. Have you ever played that Belt Plain course?
That is one of the courses in Eastern Iowa that I have not played, I have to say.
Very small greens. Part of it is very hilly. It doesn't look like much on the scorecard, but it's pretty challenging.
Yeah, very much so, I would imagine. And a very good story, as you mentioned, and it was Lonnie Nielsen and David Rummels. And I remember the year that Nielsen was in contention at the PGA. I believe he was in second place in the third round, as a matter of fact, or going into the fourth round, was in second place. I think it was in the last grouping on that particular day. So
I think that was Rummels, but Nielsen.
You're right. I'm getting them mixed up now. Yep.
Yeah, but Nielsen in 86 was right there the whole time. And again, it tied for 11th in that tournament that Bob Tway won on that bunker shot. And I think that was one of only two major championship cuts that Lonnie made. But we all like the local angle. And back in the 80s, it was Lonnie Nielsen and Dave Rummels. And reports are that Lonnie recently had suffered from dementia. So, again, a great guy, great story.
319-366-1600. And we've had Mark, you've got a colleague of yours that has joined us on the phone lines, and I'll let you go ahead and introduce him.
Yeah, Mike Ebbing. Mike is the first one to let me know that Lonnie had passed, and Mike's out in California now. Listens to the show occasionally, and he covered a lot of golf while he was at the Quad City Times. Good afternoon, Mike.
How you doing, Mark? Good to see you.
Doing well. What do you got?
Well, just a couple of reflections on Lonnie. What a great Hawkeye and what a great ambassador for golf in the state of Iowa, kind of a predecessor, as you mentioned earlier, to Zach Johnson. But, you know, I'll take you back to the mid-70s almost. It's been almost 50 years ago now when Lonnie was at Iowa, all Big Ten golfer at Iowa. That's when I first started writing articles on, I was the golf editor at the Quad City Times in Davenport and first started writing articles on Lonnie. What a great guy. He had a kind of a so-so career on the PGA Tour. I think he played, 26 some years and had career earnings of maybe $400,000, which is not going to pay a lot of bills on the PGA Tour. But then, so many guys did, he qualified on the Senior Tour, the Champions Tour. And Lonnie won two tournaments on the Champions Tour. And he oftentimes told me that the dream of any PGA golfer is to win an event on the tour. And he realized that dream, and he actually was able to win and back it up and win twice. Both the tournaments on the Champions Tour were in New York, where he was a club pro for so many years in the Buffalo area. And I actually got notified by a mutual friend yesterday morning that Lonnie passed away, age 67. His wife, a beautiful lady, Mary Jo, also from Belle Plaine, high school sweethearts. She was by his side when he passed, but apparently it was. I've been in touch with Gene Elliott, which maybe some people remember that name from the golf circles. He still is active and playing in senior amateur tournaments, basically around the world. And Gene is the one that that contacted me, and he said Lonnie had been playing down in the Florida area. He had a home in Palm Beach Gardens where a lot of the pro golfers play and reside, especially the winter months. And he said, I talked to him a couple of weeks ago. He said, it's so sad, Lonnie's situation. He's had a pretty severe case of dementia. And he said, Lonnie is still playing golf, but he's shooting in the low 90s, which, as we know, that's not the Lonnie Nielsen that we all knew. But he said it's so sad because Lonnie would go to the tee box, and instead of having a driver, he'd go to the tee box with a putter. He'd go to one of the greens when he reached the green, and instead of taking the putter on the green, he would take his driver to the green. Mm. If he hit a ball in the water, he would walk into the water after the ball. So apparently, from what I understand, he fell a couple of weeks ago. And Lonnie has always had some knee problems, and that probably shortened his career on the senior tour. He's had several knee surgeries, a lot of health problems, but the dementia I didn't even know about until a couple of weeks ago. But apparently he had fallen and was not taking well to oxygen, and he passed away yesterday morning, and I believe it sounded like it was at his home in Orchard Park, New York. And Mary Jo was by his side, but I can recall when I moved to California, and Lonnie was very active in the senior tour at the time and played the Toshiba tournament in Newport Beach almost every year. And when he came to town, I'd get a hold of Lonnie, and he'd say, well, let me know if you need any passes. And Lonnie would get me not the normal daily passes, but he'd get me the red badge, the clubhouse pass at Newport Beach Country Club, which was good for the whole week. And that's the kind of guy Lonnie was. I would follow him almost every round and wear my Iowa Hawkeye golf cap and my Hawkeye golf shirt. And that's how I got to really bond with his wife, Mary Jo. Then he had the grandkids, and then Mary Jo stopped coming to Newport Beach. She stayed back with the grandkids. But I remember one time Lonnie was playing. He was in contention one time. He was actually had a good chance of winning the tournament. On the final Sunday, he actually finished fifth and had a flight to catch back to Florida right after the tournament. And so we said goodbye real quickly. And he said, I got to get to the airport. I don't know if I'll make the flight. So I said, well, I'll get a hold of you tomorrow and see if you got back okay. So I called him. He said, no, Mike, I missed the flight. But guess what? Nick Price, who won the tournament, he said, Dick lives very close to me down in Florida. We all play golf together down in Florida. So I flew back to Florida the next day on Nick's private jet. He invited me to fly back. So a good story. And that's the type of guy Lonnie was. We were at one of the tournaments, and we were as far away from the clubhouse as you can imagine. And then a torrential rainstorm hit the club. The horn sounded. And Lonnie said, Mike, jump in the cart. You know, we'll be back in the clubhouse in no time. And his caddy, I said, well, okay, I'll just jump on the back of the cart. And his caddy said, no. He said, sit next to Lonnie, or, you know, sit shotgun in the golf cart. So his caddy wiped off the seat on the golf cart, and his caddy jumped on the back. And we were back at the clubhouse in probably 2 minutes. And I sat in the clubhouse and watched all of these spectators coming back just totally drenched. And but Lonnie was such a gentleman. I remember talking with Dave Stockton, and Dave and Lonnie were paired together a few times on the senior tour. And Dave told me one time, he said, you know, back in the early 70s at the Amana VIP golf tournament in Iowa City, and as you guys probably know, the golf team, they caddied for a lot of the pros in the Amana VIP. Dave told me, he said, Lonnie was my caddy. That's why when I first met Lonnie, Lonnie caddied for me at the Amana VIP. Hmm. And so I planned that. Dave lives out here in Southern California, so I'm going to give Dave a call a little later today and let him know that Lonnie passed away. But Lonnie was such a gentleman. He actually invited me and my wife. They have a service every Friday night on the senior tour. It's a religious service where they have the local hotel. And Lonnie and Mary Jo said, well, why don't you and Karen be our guests and come to the church service if you want to on the Friday night? And I I didn't do it. I thought, well, that's the PGA Tour family, and that's the, they do that on the Friday nights. But Lonnie was always such a gentleman and will be sorely missed. So just a few comments, and I'm hoping to give Mary Jo a call later today and just give her a little comfort. But we did lose an Iowa golf legend just yesterday.
Yeah, very much so. Mike, thanks for the remembrances. Appreciate it, and thanks for giving us a call. All right. Thank you to Mike. And, yeah, Lon Nielsen passing at the age of 67. Definitely will be missed out there. We do have Zach playing today, Mark, down at Palm Desert, Palm Springs, the American Express. Used to be the Bob Hope Desert Classic, or as they like to call it in the day, the Bob Hope Birdie Classic. Not quite as that way now, but you still need to go pretty low. And how's Zach doing so far?
They are playing two courses in this tournament in the first couple rounds. And right now, Zach, I have to say, he's just plodding along. He's got one birdie, one bogey through 14 holes and is even par. And looking at his statistics, he's driving it extremely well, knocking it on the green, but has not made any putts. So hopefully that can reverse itself here in the next few holes and into tomorrow.
Yeah, they've moved it to a couple tougher courses than it used to be. So they're playing at the stadium course at PGA West. I know one of them. So that's where Zach is today.
Yeah,
that's the tougher.
Nichols course out there, yeah.
Yeah. 3:21 here on the program as we get ready to talk Iowa, Indiana here. We'll do that with Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a moment. Hawkeyes and the Hoosiers tonight at 8 o'clock with the tip-off at Carver Hawkeye Arena. I wanted to get this out, Mark, because this was the news that we were waiting for today from the Iowa High School Athletic Association, and this has just come out. And as far as state wrestling is concerned, the format will not change. It will still be the dual tournament on Wednesday of that week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for the three-day event. What will change? A few things. They will curtail the amount of spectators. It sounds like they are going to allow 4,000 or 5,000 in right in that area for at Wells Fargo Arena. And also, there will be other restrictions that will be talked about and given details about later on for entry for member schools as well as event personnel and media. So that should be interesting. For this year, with the restricted capacity, the ticket prices will have an increase for this year. So keep that in mind. So that is wrestling. So I guess nothing has changed a whole lot as far as that is concerned. That is contrary to the reports last week that it was going to be 3A on one day, 2A on one day, and 1A on another day. So there you go. The big news today, Mark, is now we are the proud state owners of 7 football classes. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
As there will be 4A, in essence, has been chopped up a little bit. There's going to be a class 5A in football starting next year. And 5A, 4A, and 3A will consist of 36 teams in each. So your top 36 in class in the state as far as enrollment will be 5A. The next 36 will be 4A. Following 36 will be 3A. Those three classes will play 9 regular season games and will have 16 playoff qualifiers. So that, aside from another class being added, 5A, that hasn't changed a whole lot. What has changed? 2A and 1A will be 48 teams. They will play 8 regular season games, but they will have 32 playoff qualifiers. So 32 of the 48 will get in 2A and in 1A. Class A will be the remainder of the 11-player teams, 8 regular season games, 32 qualifiers. 8-player will remain one class. There was talk of maybe splitting it up and going to a bigger class of 8 players, smaller class. They will play 8 regular season games. They will have 32 playoff qualifiers as well.
Yeah, and looking at last year's BEDS documents, the Board of Education documents on enrollment, the top, the 36th team in 5A would be Ottumwa. All the Metro teams, aside from Marion and Xavier, will be in 5A. Marion and Xavier will be in 4A, along with Iowa City Liberty. Liberty will fall into 4A unless it's a tremendous jump in enrollment there.
Which it could be. Mm-hmm. Which it could be. Is Dowling in the top 36?
Dowling, let's see, West Des Moines Dowling is 28th.
Okay, so they are in 5A. Okay, there was talk when they were going to go to 24 that Dowling would be a 4A school. And, yeah, that would have been interesting.
As far as Liberty goes, Liberty was 40th in the most recent documents, fewer than 100 out of 36th.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So that is it. So it is officially now a 5A class in football. If you want to comment, 319-366-1600. And if you want to talk about wrestling as well, 319-366-1600. As we join you on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. And something that I thought would happen as far as wrestling is concerned, among the things cut, there will not be wrestling cheerleaders this year that will be at the state tournament. So that's going to be a little different. They look forward to going to the state tournament as well. They will not be participating this year with the COVID situation going on at Wells Fargo Arena. And like we said, there's going to be more coming down on that. I myself, very interested to see how they are going to play things out as far as media is concerned, especially in wrestling, because as you know, Mark, there is a ton of media presence at the state wrestling tournament.
Well, there is indeed, and I'm sure it's no different than when I was covering the state wrestling tournament. A guy from your area wins a state championship. You get out of your seat and go down to the floor and interview the guy and or his coach. And I'm not sure how KJ Pilcher and others do it now, at least are going to do now. With certain restrictions that would be in place. So there's that as well.
6936 in the text line about football. This should bring better overall competition. I like the change. I don't know if it's going to bring better competition or not. We're getting to the point in football where you have the haves and the have-nots. And I think it's probably maybe even more of a disparity, especially in Class 5A. I think you're going to have the schools from, you know, I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. We're going to have to wait and see on it.
There's a great disparity because West Des Moines Valley and Waukee, the top two schools in enrollment, at least grades 9 through 11 in the latest BEDS documents, Valley 2,200 students, Waukee 2,147, you jump down to 36, the bottom of Class 5A, and it's 933.
There's still a big disparity.
So you've got Valley and Waukee in particular having three times as many students as the 36th largest school in the state. So that's quite a discrepancy.
Yeah. We'll see. We shall see on that. 319-366 1600. 328. We're going to talk some college basketball coming up next with you. As Iowa and Indiana prepare to tip off tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City, the coach Kevin Lehman will join us when we come back, as it will be our weekly segment with Kevin. And that, of course, is Off the Glass. Back with more after this here on KGYM.
Making your home more energy efficient doesn't have to require major changes. Little things can make a big difference. Like shade. Open up and let the sun in to help heat the house when it's cool, and close those shades on hot days to keep the sun at bay. Unplug for a while. Lots of electronic devices like TVs, game systems, and chargers use power even when they're off. So plug into an advanced power strip that shuts off power to devices that aren't being used. Be bright. Replace incandescent lighting with Energy Star certified LEDs. They use 70 to 90% less energy and last a lot longer. Automate. Install a programmable thermostat that adjusts the temperature while you sleep or you're out of the house to save energy and money. And if you want to know about how you're using energy in your home, download the Smart Hub app to monitor what you're using daily and how it's trending over time. Energy saving that's easier. It's just another one of the nifty benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
The COVID-19 pandemic is the worst healthcare crisis of our lifetime. Hospitals, care centers, and their staff are overwhelmed, and it's getting worse. By now, we all know someone who's been affected by the virus, but there is hope. Vaccines are coming and getting closer every day. But while we wait for relief, you need to do your part. Wear a mask, wash your hands, and maintain your distance. It's for now, not forever. This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Growing up on a farm, the youngest of nine kids, Chris had to prove himself, and he did, in the fields and on the court. As a Regina and Simpson College basketball player, he got the nickname Shooter, and it stuck. People still call him Shooter, even now that he's a Coldwell Banker real estate professional. His work ethic, skill, resourcefulness, and 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction in the Iowa City area have made Chris Lehman the perfect realtor to buy or sell your home with. Get in touch at shootershomes.com.
Back with you in the gym class here in KGYM on the Thursday edition of the show. It's Thursday, and that means it is time to talk college hoops. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joins us for Off the Glass, as it is brought to you by Coldwell Banker and real estate professional Chris Lehman. With over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction, trust Chris. If you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City and the surrounding areas, you can find out more by going online at shootershomes.com. Find out more with Chris. Again, that is at shootershomes.com. As Kevin Lehman, the coach, joins us here. And how are you on this Thursday?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. What are they going to ask you about the blue bloods of college basketball? Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, not in the AP Top 25. First time since 1961.
And I don't think anyone is shedding a lot of tears either, are they?
You know, what I'm wondering, guys, is this basketball landscape changing? The one and done that Kentucky tried, I don't think it's working. And we saw Duke try it. You know, Kansas dabbles. They're still in the top 25. I think you got to look at what you're seeing from Gonzaga, Villanova, even Baylor. I think we have a new landscape coming in college basketball.
A lot of folks looking forward to tonight's matchup at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Kevin, I know you are. Not sure if you're working or not tonight, but help us break down this matchup.
Well, you got Indiana team that's struggling to beat Purdue the last couple of times. And they're going to, you know, they got the big guy in the middle, Trayce Jackson-Davis, NBA player, size, strength. You know, he's going to be a good matchup for Luka Garza, but they just do not have the three-point shooting on the perimeter to keep up with this Iowa team offensively. And when you talk about Indiana, they kind of remind me of this Iowa team about 2 years ago. They just don't guard consistently. That's been a problem for the Hoosiers, and I just can't see them coming in here and knocking off Iowa at Carver Hawkeye, where Iowa's been, won 22 of the last 23 in Carver Hawkeye. This is a team that's really clicking.
It is, and last year in this matchup, Luka Garza went and had one of his Luka Garza nights with 37, I believe it was. And yes, Trayce Jackson-Davis was only a freshman last year. He's gotten better. He's a different type of center. He's a more athletic guy. And it's going to be interesting to me to see if Indiana is going to try to double down like most teams do, or maybe even triple team Luka, or if they're going to allow Trayce Jackson-Davis to maybe go one-on-one with Garza a little bit.
I think what you got to do in the situation, Scott, is you got to change up and try to keep Luka guessing, because once he gets in the comfort zone, it causes some big problems. And I think Luka Garza has really grown as a passer as of late, his ability to get the ball out of those double teams. And that's one of the reasons why you're seeing Jordan Bohannon shoot the ball so well. And here's a stat, guys, and I actually had to double-check this because I didn't think it was possible. C.J. Frederick has not had a turnover in Big Ten play. He's got 16 assists and no turnovers. That's unheard of. And Bohannon, in the last two games, has 18 assists and no turnovers. I mean, those numbers are just staggering that you can play in the Big Ten and not turn the basketball over.
You know, the interesting thing for me to follow is whether Jordan Bohannon's going to have more threes tonight or parking tickets this week.
I think we've all dealt with the U of I parking police. They do not have a smile on their face when they get up in the morning.
Yeah, what is the over-under? Do we have a line on this? Let's check it out with the Elite. I don't know. We will see. Yeah, and for the Hawkeyes to stay with Michigan, they need to win, obviously. No doubt about that. But even more important to hold home court serve, as you mentioned, because Wisconsin's right behind. Looked good again last night, dismantling Northwestern. Purdue is suddenly at 6-3. Illinois is still there, even though the Illini have three losses in there. You just can't lose a game like this if you're Iowa tonight. Your chances for a regular season championship in the Big Ten take a hit.
Oh, no question. And Michigan's got to go to Purdue. And you talked about a surging Purdue team that's won their last three, including Ohio State and the win at Indiana. So this is a great chance for Iowa to catch and possibly go ahead of the Wolverines if they slip up at Purdue. And Scott, I got to ask you, do you still have belief in your Illini that they can win the Big Ten? They've lost two at home. They've lost to Maryland at home, and they've lost to Ohio State at home for Illinois.
I think they can, but I don't think they can go over five. Now, all this is predicated on 20 games. Keep that in mind, because I don't know if we're going to get to 20, and I'll ask you about that coming up here in a moment. In fact, let's talk about that right now, because a couple of different articles coming out today. Matt Norlander of CBS Sports penning an article that with the COVID rates and where they are at right now, conference commissioners have been, secretly talking amongst themselves about a possible college basketball shutdown in February for a couple of weeks. And then there was another article coming out today, or another publication, saying that over a quarter of college coaches are saying that there should not be postseason tournaments in any of the conferences. And we know what that's going to do to the bottom line and to the pockets of these conferences, especially the Big Ten and Big 12 and the other big-time power conferences out there. I guess your thoughts on both of those topics.
Well, here's what's happening, Scott and Mark. Students are coming back on campus for those having on-campus classes. So now you've got your student athletes that they're not taking everything online. They're going to intermingle with those students again. So we've got a big spike now, and possibly there could be another one coming because of their interaction with the student body. So I can see why there's talk of maybe shutting this down, because what they want to get to, you know, the end game is the NCAA tournament, which they have planned out now. We know the schedule, the days it's going to be on. It's going to be in the state of Indiana. So those plans are made out, but they got to be able to get from point A to point B, and we've got this monster COVID sitting between those two points, and it just keeps rearing its ugly head. And when you go through that amount of cancellations, and the amount of teams that have missed 3, 4, 5 games, it just keeps building and building.
Back to the Iowa Hawkeyes for a minute, Kevin. In the most recent game against Northwestern, my big takeaway, I told myself several times watching the game that, man, this team is really unselfish. And I don't think that's something you can really teach. A coach can preach sharing the ball. But I think it probably, even though there's some freshmen and sophomores in the rotation, I think it speaks to the experience of this team. What say you?
Well, if you look at the stat, 20 assists to 10 turnovers, and that's in Big Ten play. That's not counting North Carolina Central, Southern University, Western Illinois, those teams. So that's a big number there that shows how well they share the basketball. And not only that, Mark, but the efficiency that they share it at. And what helps, when you got a big guy like Luka Garza and score, that really helps your assist numbers because it's not like he's going to miss it when he gets it in there. So this is it. And you look at those numbers for Northwestern where they've got 22 assists on 33 made field goals. I'm not sure what their rate of assists per field goal is, but it's got to be one of the highest in the country. You know, when you look at watching Gonzaga, we're watching Baylor, you just got to wonder with this Big Ten play, if this can continue without COVID interruptions, and you've got Gonzaga playing in the Big West, is this an Iowa team that can overtake this Gonzaga team because of their offensive efficiency? And we know the Hawkeyes, just look at the KenPom numbers, they're getting better defensively.
Kevin Lehman joining us, 3:40 here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. I guess we need to focus on Iowa so much because aside from the Hawkeyes, there isn't a whole lot to talk about. Iowa State hasn't played in a while. Drake hasn't played in a while. You and Iowa scheduled to go tonight. That is not going to happen now due to a couple of cases popping up as far as the Panthers are concerned. And Iowa's the only show in town right now. And it's too bad, especially for Drake, because the Bulldogs are enjoying, as we have talked about so much here with you, just a really, really good season. And they need to get out on the court again as quickly as they possibly can, but they got to do it in a safe way.
Well, they got national attention because Dickie V was voting for them originally in that top 25 poll. Then other people started paying attention to the Bulldogs. And they're up in 11 in net scoring right now of that NCAA evaluation tool. So getting national attention. And then the shutdown came. So they've been sitting in limbo. They do have Illinois State at home on that doubleheader when they're supposed to open up again on the 30th. And then they go to Valparaiso. So they've got a fairly good schedule for reentry until they get and I know the game with Loyola is going to be rescheduled, which will be at Drake. That'll be a huge one. Because you got two teams. One thing about the Valley, if this thing continues to go, that we have games, Scott and Mark, with Loyola is moved up so high in their net, this is a chance that the Valley might have two bids in the NCAA tournament because of what these two teams are doing. And there's some, you're seeing some real separation, even though Drake isn't playing. But Bradley's loss at Illinois State was a bit of a stunner last night. And Loyola, again, just manhandled Valparaiso at Valpo.
Yeah, and before I get to you, Mark, if I can interrupt just real quick, but with the Valley, it, kind of a twofold question here, Kevin. First of all, you mentioned Loyola, 6-1 right now. They took care of UNI pretty effectively last weekend, yes. And there are a lot of people talking about the fact that if there is a shutdown, if there aren't conference tournaments, it is even going to hurt the mid-majors more. And I'm kind of keeping things in perspective here about trying to see a two-bid league coming out of the Missouri Valley. I think it can get that this year. Missouri State's really good. Loyola's good. Drake's good. Bradley's not bad. I just don't know if the circumstances are going to help conferences like the Mo Valley this year. I guess, what do you think?
Well, I'm not sure how we're going to evaluate teams, Scott. That's the part that we don't know. Are they going to use the net like they did before? You know, home court had a big advantage in the net. Now you don't have a crowd in your home court, so do you still look at road wins in the quad one the same? And what's going to help Loyola tremendously, Scott, is they have a 30 net right now. They have to go to Missouri State for two games. They have to go to Bradley this weekend for two games. I get a call, the one on Sunday, I believe. And they have to go to Drake. So they have great opportunities to keep that net or raise it as long as they don't trip up in those games. And then Drake, in that same situation, they've got those matchups with Loyola, and I believe they have to go to Missouri State also. So those are two teams, if you're going to talk about the metrics the NCAA has used in the past, there is opportunities for those two teams. Now, does the Valley have a conference tournament? We don't know. Is the Big Ten going to have a conference tournament? Those things, as Fran McCaffrey says, you know, we're going to play who they put in front of us.
I think it's a wait and see on a lot of these things as we get deeper into this college basketball tournament. Just so many unknowns.
Kevin, I want to throw our KGYM radio poll question at you, if that's okay. It's brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Will Iowa beat Indiana by more than 10 points this evening? Yes or no?
Yes. Yes, they will. Indiana cannot keep up with this offense. I got a poll question for you guys.
Okay.
An opinion question. Traditionally, we talk about the blue bloods in college basketball being Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, with those three we mentioned, Kansas, Indiana, UCLA. Are those six still the blue bloods of college basketball?
This would be the second year. Well, North Carolina was well under 500 last year. They are over 500, but not a top 25 team. Basketball has changed, like you talked about. I think Gonzaga is almost a blue blood, but a different type of blue blood. And I think the age of the North Carolinas and the Dukes and whatnot being so good each and every year, it's going to stick around, no doubt about that. But that is when they had guys that would stick around 2 and 3 years. And I think now, with especially without preparation time over the summer, you're seeing Kentucky struggle. You're seeing the one-and-done school struggle. And it may only be a one-year thing. Who knows? Maybe the Blue Bloods go back. But they are struggling this year due to the fact they have not had 2 or 3 months with the basketball players and to get some continuity and get things rolling.
For my opinion, I think those teams should still be considered Blue Bloods just because of their tradition and history. I think it might be a blip on the radar, maybe related to COVID, maybe not, maybe related to recruiting one and dones. I don't know. I mean, Kansas is still in the top 10, but I agree with Scott. If you're talking about blue bloods of recent lineage, Gonzaga's got to be right there.
Well, is Indiana still considered in that class? They haven't even been relevant in a Big Ten race for recent years. So, I'm wondering, do you still put Indiana in that group? And UCLA, they're getting good again under Nick Cronin. But I don't know if you can still put that team. Bill Walton's Conference of Champions have not had a champion for quite some time.
Yeah. True. And I agree with you about Indiana. Still a good basketball program, but no, they are not. Yes, they're going to have the tradition. They still have the banners at Assembly Hall. And they still have one of the best fan bases around as far as college basketball is concerned. But, yeah, you take a look at their body of work over the last 10 to 15 years, not so much, I think.
Yeah, look who's winning the NCAA tournament. Last time we had a full season was Virginia, and then it was Villanova. So I think we're just seeing a real change in the landscape of college basketball. And I always like to relate it to Nebraska. Nebraska is not my dad's Nebraska anymore in football. The world has changed, and I think the basketball landscape, I think we're seeing it change also, guys. I think we're really – and then – if they let you eliminate the one and done when you come right out of high school and go to the NBA, that could change it even more.
It is, and I think that's coming. Maybe not next year, but down the line, I think definitely within the next 5 to 7 years, you're gonna have kids going from high school to the NBA again. And I don't think it's a bad thing, because if you go to college, I think they're going to make you be there 2 or 3 years, and I think it might be the best thing for college basketball, but we'll see. We'll see. Well, we got to get through this year.
and I'd circle back on this. I think teams like Iowa, we've had guys that stuck around and invested in the program, are the programs you're going to see here in the future that are at the top of college basketball. Iowa, Baylor, Gonzaga, the ones we've talked about.
94-16 on the text line says definitely not Indiana and UCLA. Although the Bruins are in first place in the Pac-12, but that's what 94-16 says. Michigan State ahead of all those teams.
Well, if you talk about blue blood in the Big Ten, you'd have to say Michigan State. And is this an aberration this year? Will they be back? You know, the last big national championship team we've had from the Big Ten was Michigan State. We've got to go back 20 years. It's been a long time. So this Hawkeye team's carrying a lot on their shoulders, not only for Iowa fans, but for Big Ten fans.
Would it be considered, I mean, with all that has been written and talked about with the Big Ten this year, it's got to be the Big Ten's best chance to get a national champion, and like you talked about, it's been a long time. How big a disappointment would it be this year if the Big Ten doesn't get a champion? I mean, Gonzaga looks really good, and I think they're the favorite. You asked us Gonzaga of the field a couple weeks ago. So it would be, especially if a Big Ten team didn't get to the Final Four, that would be a disappointment in my eyes.
Yeah, I think if we don't have a Big Ten team and maybe two in the Final Four, that would be a huge disappointment. But, you know, the great thing about the tournament, they're just one-game situation. So, Gonzaga could get bounced by a Big Ten team, could get bounced by Iowa. You just don't know. That's what's always made that tournament such a great spectacle. And, you know, hopefully we're going to have it this year, guys. It's keep your fingers crossed and knock on wood that this thing keeps moving forward, and especially this Iowa team. I the more I watch them, guys, you're watching them too. I mean, they're so efficient at the offensive end, and they're starting to buy in defensively. We saw that Northwestern. Northwestern's up by one. Fran has that timeout. They respond to his challenge to guard the Wildcats.
Hey, last one for me before we let you go here, Kevin. You mentioned the NCAA tournament and the brand new schedule. They're not going to start out with the first four on Tuesday. It's going to be on Thursday. Things are a little bit more compact. They're claiming it's a one-year situation, but you've seen, and I have seen, and Mark has seen plenty of times where something that was supposed to be a one-year deal has moved to the way it is. Do you think that will be the case as far as these dates for the NCAA tournament, or do they go back to the old schedule?
I think they'll go back to the old schedule. The reason why is because you have all those games on Saturday and Sunday once you get into the round of 32. My son, who's 34 years old, Grant Lehman in Omaha, he still takes Thursday and Friday off to work to watch those first-round games. He's glued to his television set for 4 days. But I think when you get that second weekend where you can have basketball all day on Saturday and Sunday, and they're starting at Summit, 10 in the morning, I really think those eyeballs on TV sets will keep it as it has been in the past traditionally.
All right. We shall see. We shall see. All right, Kevin, enjoy the basketball.
Yep. Got to give a shout-out, though, for the softball team. I got word that Sarah Lehman and the softball players are practicing.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. All right, Kevin, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, have a good one. Always fun to talk with you.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us off the glass segment, brought to you here on KGYM by Chris Lehman at shootershomes.com. We'll take a break, come back, Bowling Night in America recap, and we'll take a look at what we think for Iowa, Indiana. That's coming up right after this on the Gym Class on KGYM.
New year, new sportsbook. Get to know BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, by winning $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on Iowa. And if they hit a three, you win. Just sign up and use bonus code HANSEN100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Then, bet with confidence all year long with BetMGM's innovative parlay selection features, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app today or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSEN100 to win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on Iowa to hit a three. Enjoy your favorite sports like never before and make 2021 a year to remember. Sign up with BetMGM today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Perhaps the Metro's top basketball rivalry is revisited this Friday night on KGYM.
Hi, this is Scotty Nash. Join us Friday at 5:50 on 107.5 FM, the KGYM radio app and stream, as the Linmar Lions tangle with the Kennedy Cougars in a girl-boy doubleheader. It's the second meeting between the teams this season, with the Lions winning the girls' game and the Cougars the boys' game the first time around. That's NBC Girls Doubleheader Basketball, Linmar and Kennedy, Friday night at 5:50 on 107.5 FM, KGYM. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Oh, and we enjoyed Bowling Night in America last night, even though we how do we put this delicately? We got thumped.
Well, as good as it was last week, it was not so good this week. Derline Scale beating the Nails 19-11. But really, Scott, I mean, it was pretty even going into that last game. As if I followed your text correctly last night. But this is the reason why Derline is in second place and the Nails are in ninth, right?
Still ninth. Not on the bottom. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, still a good night out on the lanes last night. Real good night again for our friend, Mr. Joel Donner.
Yes, indeed. Joel with his 300 game.
I asked him how many, and he had no idea.
How many has he had?
He had no idea. He didn't know.
No. He's had gobs of them, but congratulations. And I think Joel was using a new ball last night and bowled the 300 in his second game and ended up with a 766. So he led the way in both categories. But I got to give a shout-out to the Rusty Nails' own Troy Beeler, who had the second high game at 288 and third high series at 739. Good job, Troy.
Good job, T-Roy. Sorry we couldn't pick you up. Don't ask how the 10 pin went in the third game. That's the way it goes sometimes. But at any rate, stop on by. If you'd like to get a new ball that will get you a 300, perhaps, you can do that at the Pro Shop out at May City.
Yes, indeed. And these times we advise you to call ahead to May City about the Pro Shop or open bowling, whatever it may be, 362-0136. And you can always visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
There you go. We'll get back at it coming up next week, and we face the Poobah. Yeah, looking forward to that coming up next week. Again, if you missed it, state wrestling format will remain the same, 4,000 people per session at Wells Fargo Arena, and more on that coming up, and a new classification in Iowa high school football, 5A, will make its debut coming up with the other classes coming up this fall. And in 2A, 1A, A, and 8-player, 32 teams will make the playoffs. Tonight, Iowa, Indiana, Mark, how do you see it?
Tell me Luca Garza will not get in foul trouble, and I think Iowa will win by more than 10.
I think Iowa wins a high-scoring game. We could see 90s and maybe 100. I could see something like 102-86 or something like that, but I think the Hawkeyes with much too much firepower for this one. A couple more texts to get to before we close up shop here. 2662 lets us know there was talk that Fran was trying to schedule a game for this weekend or before their next game in place in the Nebraska postponed game. I have to clear that with the Big Ten. Obviously, the Big Ten did not agree with that. 1626 says Iowa without Luca Garza, as my screen goes blank now, is a middle-of-the-pack Big Ten team. I guess we'll find out next year on that particular front. Still some good talent for the Hawkeyes, though.
Yes, indeed, and it'll be a good team coming back. Look forward to tonight's game.
All right. We'll talk about that coming up tomorrow. And Cedar Rapids native NASCAR driver Joey Gase joins us to talk about the 21 season coming up tomorrow. Talk to you then.
These days, it's okay to do some things halfway. Like wearing your pajama bottoms on a work call. But managing your prescriptions shouldn't be one of them. That's why CVS has a proprietary search tool to find ways that may help lower your prescription costs, and we'll deliver them for free. No wonder